Do romantic relationships leave you miserable and confused? Are you tired of getting into a relationship as soon as the initial buzz is gone? You have that sinking feeling that whispers, what am I doing? Christy Johnson is on the phone with me today. She's the author of the book Love Junkies, 7 Steps for Breaking the Toxic Relationship Cycle.
Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Doing pretty well. How about you?
Good.
First of all, Christy, can you just tell us what a love junkie is?
Well, Sarah, I think there's so many of us that are probably love junkies and don't really realize it because love junkies are really just like the rest of us. They crave relationship, only for a love junkie, we use relationships like a drug. It's something that we have to have. We're always on the hunt for one. And if we are not in a great relationship, we're always on the look for another one. So they tend to be addictive, and we end up settling for relationships that are far less than what we really want. And a lot of times they end up really toxic. A love junkie is not somebody who is sexually promiscuous, but a lot of times we end up trading sex for love and affection. And it's because we hunger. I mean, all of us have a need for relationship and a need to be loved and accepted. But if we don't have our identity centered in Christ, we will end up sucking that out of other relationships. And for a love junkie, we use men in order to fill that hole in our soul. And for me, in my past, I didn't get that love and acceptance from my father. So I ended up, I could not wait until I was old enough to date. And I just thought, a relationship is going to make me happy. And so, but because I felt so insignificant and worthless in my own self, I gravitated towards unhealthy relationships. And then I was never satisfied. I was always looking for another one.
Is a relationship addiction different than a sexual addiction?
Yeah, definitely. I know there's a lot of recovery groups for women that, struggle with sexual addictions, but really in my book, Love Junkies, I'm not talking about that, even though, like I mentioned a minute ago, a lot of times we trade sex for affection, but women who struggle with addictive or toxic relationships, they're not drawn to the sexual aspect. They are looking for love and acceptance and affection and affirmation. It's the intimacy and belonging that we typically make a lot of compromises in order to get that.
You can only find that in Jesus, that love and acceptance. And, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
Are there some common lies love junkies believe?
Oh, I think so. And these were so easy for me to write because they were all I had to do was think about my own past. Yes. I mean, it's normal to feel pain in love. We fall for that lie. We think that that's just normal. We typically think we can change our man. Like, I used to settle for a relationship because I thought, I can fix them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I love to go to garage sales and estate sales to look for home decor because, you can fix things, but that doesn't work with relationships.
Mm.
We also minimize behavior. We say, oh, he's not really that bad. He doesn't mean to do the things he does. Or here's a big lie that a lot of women fall for. He says he's a Christian. And that's what we do. We listen to what words are spoken instead of what actions are portrayed. And it's so easy. A psychologist say that 93% of what we communicate is actually nonverbal. And that's what we women have to learn how to do, is to look at the actions that men communicate, not the words that come out of their mouth. Because words are so easy to speak, but do their actions line up with their words?
It reminds me of a relationship that I had in the past, and he was very controlling and very obsessive and just had to know everything that I was doing, basically. And I looked at that as, oh, well, he just loves me. Now that I'm older, I can see that. It just shows a lot of insecurity. That controlling, manipulative person is not healthy.
That's a really good point, Sarah. And I think that's one of the lies that women have to tell themselves. Like you said, he loves me. That means he loves me if he's controlling or obsessive.
Right. And
But that's just to minimize their behavior. That's good.
What made you write Love Junkies?
Oh my gosh. Because I struggled so much with unhealthy relationships. And after I had just really an encounter with Christ, when I got to the end of myself and God just set me free, it was like this eye-opening experience where Christ showed me how much he loved me just for who I was. And it no longer, in that one instant, it no longer mattered what other people thought of me. So it was like I was set free. And now I want to go back and show other women how they can be set free so they don't have to make the same mistakes that I made. And I had women that came alongside me. I mean, my recovery was not instant, even though that revelation came in a moment where I finally recognized Christ's love for me. I mean, I've been a Christian for years, but being a Christian doesn't mean that we're instantly restored. You know, restoration is such a process and a journey, but without the women that came along beside me and mentored me and helped me and prayed for me, I would not be who I am today. And I want to be that for other women.
You went from your husband being that source of love and your all in all. And then God just showed you that he is your all in all. Put me first and then I'll bring the right one.
And it took a process of learning how to walk that out, learning how to renew my mind. And I love the, I call it my favorite boundary scripture from Proverbs that says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And I didn't know how to guard my heart. I let men walk all over me. And I gave and gave and gave until I had nothing else to give. And, you know, it was a process of learning how to guard my heart, learning how to set boundaries, learning how to renew my mind. And today, I'm not the same woman I used to be. So I really have a passion to help other women.
You mentioned that you expected your husband to be your all in all. So does that mean that married women can be a love junkie too?
Oh, absolutely. As a life coach, I coach so many women that are married and miserable. I mean, just because you get married doesn't mean that all of a sudden your source of affection and affirmation has changed. Usually we put all these impossible expectations on our husbands to be. And then when they're not, when they don't provide all that affection or they're distant or they're in a bad mood, then they basically control the emotional climate of how we feel. And so when they disappoint us, then we're disappointed instead of learning how to make God our source. Yeah, so you can definitely be married and be a love junkie.
Okay, so for the women who are listening right now and maybe wondering, am I a love junkie? How would they identify if they are?
First, I have a quiz on my website at christyjohnson.org, and I spell my name like Christ with a Y, C-H-R-I-S-T-Y, for anyone that's interested. There's a quiz on my website called Are You a Love Junkie? And it just guides women through a series of questions that help them, you know, identify. And, you know, by the way, there's a lot of women out there that may be listening that may not be a love junkie, but maybe they really want to reach out to someone who they want to help, like their daughter or their niece. So anyone who completes the quiz will also get my free ebook, How to Live Soul Healthy in a Toxic World. So it's a great way to guide someone to the website and help them, you know, hey, you can get this free mini ebook.
After this interview, that's exactly where I'm going.
Okay.
Give that website one more time.
It's christyjohnson.org.
Okay.
Christy is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-Y.
You were a church attending, faith-filled Christian, but still had toxic relationship issues. Do you think that this is common?
Oh, I do. There's so many women that church is the last place they want to tell their issues or find help for their problems. And so we wear these Christian happy hats to church and people say, how are you? And we say, oh, I'm fine. How are you? And, you know, going to the altar for prayer about sexual promiscuity in your marriage or issues with your boyfriend, sometimes those are the last things that we want to go to the altar for. And I mean, there's so many women in our culture that are growing up without a godly relationship model. They don't have a father in the home. And so all of our young girls are growing up and they're getting all their relationship cues from Hollywood, which they portray such an inaccurate view of how a romance is supposed to form. And so we have churches full of women who, you know, instead of revealing their struggles, they suffer in silence. And sometimes, especially if a woman has found herself in a mind affair and that's led to a physical affair, often it's easier just to get a divorce than to get to the root of the issue. And so, yeah, I think it's so hard in the church. We've got to get to the root of the problem so we can really help these women.
That would be maybe someone who can mentor you. I am so blessed. I have a teacher. Her name is Marilyn Haskell, and she heads up the women's ministry at our church. She's always there for me if I need to talk. And, you know, typically after Bible study, she'll just say, hey, do you want to chat? And 9 times out of 10 gives me some great advice. And so we definitely need to have mentors and, you know, just have a friend.
Sarah, that is so key. That's why I've created a leader's guide to go along with Love Junkies. It's a free resource on my website for women that have a heart to mentor other women in a small group setting, I think, is where women really learn and connect most. And when they find out that these issues I'm dealing with, other women have them too, and it's okay to talk about them, because when we expose the lies that we're hiding inside, that and then the enemy has no more claim over us. But if he can keep us isolated, feeling like we're the only ones struggling, then he can keep us oppressed. But yeah, I'd love for women to take the book and start little small groups all over the country. I mean, that's my vision for Love Junkies.
Tell me about Love You. How did you come up with the idea for Love You groups?
Well, I was on vacation this summer, and I was on the airplane. And you know, whenever the flight attendant comes on and says, you know, in the event of the loss of cabin pressure, take the mask and put it on yourself first so that you can help others next. And that's when it just hit me, because Jesus says in the Bible to love others like you love yourself. And so if women don't love themselves very much, they won't have much love to give. And so it sounds so backwards, Sarah, but the best way to love others is to learn how to love you more.
That's good.
So it just hit me on the airplane. I'm like scribbling on a napkin and like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, we could teach women how to love you more. So that's just the vision, is to multiply. I mean, I'm only one person, but there are so many women that have a heart to mentor other women. And I just wanted to provide the resources to make it easy for them to study Love Junkies in a small group setting. And so, yeah, 30,000 or how many ever feet you're flying up in an airplane, that's when that idea came to me. It was just amazing.
That is so good. I love that. As we come to the end of our interview, what would you like to say to women who may be discouraged about relationship issues?
Well, first of all, I know this sounds backwards, but discouragement is not always a bad thing. Because if we never get discouraged or never run into problems, we don't have a reason to cry out to God. And for me, that was the beginning of my recovery, was when I finally got to the end of myself. So for women that are discouraged in their relationship, there's always hope. There's always Christ is the answer, and if you will just recognize that and give him your hurt and your pain, then he can begin to fix and heal and restore.
You know, I just recently heard a quote, and it says, when you hit rock bottom, that's solid foundation on which I can rebuild my life. Sometimes it takes us to be completely broken and void of self, our will, our wants, and our desires, for us to come to that place where we can ask God for help and say, okay, Lord, you know, I don't know what you want me to do next, but I submit it to you, and I'm just trusting and believing in you right now. I, too, have come to that point in my life, and it's just amazing what God has done since I submitted myself to him.
Amen. I love that. When you hit rock bottom, that is the solid foundation. That's powerful.
Yeah.
I love it.
So where can women get a copy of your book, Love Junkies?
It is available on Amazon and Christian independent retailers around the country. They can also click on my website if they're there. There's a link to purchase it there on Amazon. That's where they can get it.
Awesome. Well, Christy, thank you so much for talking about your book, Love Junkies, and sharing your testimony of what God has done in your life and how he's just completely transformed you.
Well, thank you for having me on, Sarah. I appreciate it.